right. Good morning, everyone. Hey, it's great to be here this morning, to be here. And, you know, as I was thinking about this idea of injustice, while we were in Langhorne, you know, with these kids from inner city Philly, it made me think, like, wow, I can't believe these kids saw something so horrific when they were there. It just made me think about injustice. And that's what I'm glad to talk to you this morning about. Because you know what? When I watched that video at first, I wondered if I would have noticed if it was my family member if I walked by. I don't know if I would have. And maybe you might think you might too. I don't know. But this is the issue. Like, what I want you to think about this morning, I want you to think about this video and keep in the back of your mind, because as we talk this morning about injustice, I think I'm going to pull it and weave it into what we're talking about. But when you hear the word injustice, often we think about big issues in the world, right? Oppression, slavery, famine, things we all know 100% are not okay and they're not right. But this is the issue. Injustice doesn't happen just because something bad happens. Injustice happens when someone's treated a bad or even an evil way. When a human being is treated as if they're less than a human being, than that God has made them to be, that's evil. That's wrong. Maybe someone's treated like property or trash, as if they're expendable or not valuable, or if they're not deserving of dignity or safety, or even not have enough food or clothing to have. Like, that person is being victimized by injustice. And that's all wrong. We all can agree on that this morning. That injustice is easy to see and spot. When someone is treated as if they're less than the person that God has created them to be, obviously that's evil. That's wrong. But that brings me to this guy right here. Has anyone ever used this emoji before? Maybe some? No one? Oh, a few people. All right, we got a few people, right? This little emoji here is sometimes associated with the phrase, see no evil, which basically means it's a universal symbol for covering your eyes and choosing not to see something, right? It's kind of funny because you just think it's like a cute monkey, but it has this deeper meaning that maybe we don't know about. But it kind of seems crazy if you really think about it. Like, how could anyone not see evil or injustice that's right in front of us? Because it's literally everywhere. It's all around us. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. How do we really see the injustice that's right in front of us, right in front of our eyes? Because this morning's not about the injustice in the world, right? We know that's wrong. It's about the injustice in our world, in our town, in our neighborhoods. Injustice is easy to see when it's a dramatic headline or a story on Facebook. But when it's impacting people in our world, sometimes we can choose to walk by it or not to see it. So even though we can easily spot the injustice in the world around us, we can often miss the injustice that's happening right in front of our eyes. Maybe for you as a student or a coworker who gets picked on relentlessly at your place of work or your school. Or maybe it's a family in your community who's suffering from a great loss. They lost something that was meaningful to them. Or maybe it's a person in your life that you know is being victimized by injustice. Whatever it is, injustice is happening all around us. It's happening everywhere. It might be happening in this room. People might be suffering from injustice. And if you're like most people, sometimes we're literally walking right past the injustice in front of our eyes. But here's the issue. How can we be a part of the solution to the problem that we don't even see? How do we be a part of that solution? And that's why I think we must look at Jesus' life. Because you know about Jesus? Jesus never missed something, right? He never missed it. He always saw it. He noticed when things were not right. And I think if we can follow Jesus' example of trying to deal with the injustice in our world, I believe that it can change the world around us. And this morning, we're going to look at a few different passages, but we're going to start off in the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew was written by one of Jesus' closest followers. And in this story I'm about to share, Jesus makes a big statement on addressing the injustice in the world. Here's how Matthew begins in Matthew 9:35. It says this, Jesus traveled through all the towns and villages of that area, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. So Jesus, we look at this passage, what is Jesus doing? He's teaching, he's healing, he's helping people. He's sharing the message about God's kingdom. Now, when Jesus is talking about God's kingdom, he's talking about things like slaves being set free, the oppressed being rescued, the hungry being fed, the poor being taken care of, and those who've been cast out now being welcomed back in. In other words, Jesus was talking about justice. Jesus was talking about how all this injustice in the world would be made right in the kingdom of God. That was Jesus' message. And because of that, wherever he would go, he would have something to say, but also something to do about the injustice that was in the world. Here's what I mean. It says this in Matthew 9, 36 and 37. It says, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless, like a sheep without a shepherd. He said to his disciples, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. So maybe many of you have heard this verse before and thought, of course Jesus said that. He's Jesus. He's going to say that. But you said, like, why does this matter to me? What is this even, how does this even apply to me? And I do believe these two verses, and really, honestly, all of Jesus' life, gives us an example of how we can deal with the injustice in our neighborhoods, in our community, in our world. So I'm going to give you three big ideas that we're going to look at when we look at Jesus' life and how he responded to injustice. So first, Jesus saw the crowds were full of people who were confused and helpless, like a sheep without their shepherd. These people were forgotten. They were hungry. They were hurt. And most of all, they were in need. These people needed someone to help. And you know what? Jesus noticed these people. He saw them, right? He didn't like just trip over them when he walked by. He didn't notice them after a year of them being there in need. He didn't just keep going without first stopping and talking to them or seeing what they need. Jesus saw the people around him. He noticed the need. And just like we watched earlier in that video, it's so easy just to pass by the injustice that's right in front of our eyes. Because it's easy. When you pass by someone in need, it's easy to say, man, I don't got time for that. I got things to do. I had a long day. But you see, Jesus didn't let people pass by him. He addressed the needs. He noticed the people. And when he saw a human being not treated like the person that they were supposed to be made to be, he noticed the evil. He saw the evil. So we first have to see. We have to see the poverty, the need, the racism. The crisis is happening right in front of our eyes. We have to open our eyes to see the injustice that's in our worlds so that we can make a difference. So today, maybe you need to commit to praying something like this. God, open my eyes. God, open my eyes to see the injustice around me. So when Jesus saw, right, he then cared for the people. He cared for who was there. The verse that we read earlier said that Jesus had compassion, right? Which is another way of saying that Jesus deeply cared about the people he saw in need. I thought it'd be cool to look at the word compassion as it was written in the original text because I was like, what is it really trying to convey here? Now, this might sound weird to you, but the word compassion in the Greek actually means to feel it in your bowels. Does that seem strange to you? Maybe a little bit. Okay, maybe not. So, like he's saying, like, you gotta feel it in your bowels, which seems weird, because when we talk about something that hurts us or hits us in the heart, what do we talk about? Our heart, right? We say, like, ah, oh, that hurt my heart, or you hurt my heart. But see, in the first century, they meant something deeper and lower than their heart. They meant their gut, right? Like, deep within who they are. And that's why we say we have a gut feeling. You ever use that phrase, right? Like, you feel something in your gut, like, you're just, like, compelled to think, like, this is how I feel about this. And what they're trying to convey in this scripture, in this verse here, is that it means to be deeply and emotionally moved by what we see around us. See, Jesus was moved for these people who were in need. And that's what should happen when we see someone who is in need. We should be deeply moved to want to care and to address whatever is going on in their lives. Because once we see, we have to care for the people around us. We have to be moved by the injustice that's happening in our world. So maybe for you, the best place to start today is asking God to help us remember, or maybe praying this. God, break my heart for what breaks yours. God, break my heart for what breaks yours. So Jesus saw, Jesus cared, and most importantly, Jesus acted. He did something about the need that was in front of him. We must follow Jesus' footsteps and actually showing up and doing something about the injustice that's happening in our world. Not only did Jesus love people, he fed them, he cared for them, he set them free, but he also called the followers of Jesus to do the exact same thing. Now, look at what this next verse says, as we read earlier. It says, he said to the disciples, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. Now, what is the harvest exactly? So if we did like a farming 101, what does a farmer do? He first plants his seed, right? He plants it in the ground, and then he cares for his seed. After he cares for his seed, he gets to harvest the seed, right? He gets to harvest all his hard work and what he cared for in those crops. In the same way, Jesus is saying there's a big potential for a harvest in the world. There's a big potential there. But the problem is this, the need is huge, but the people who are actually seeing, caring, and doing something about it, well, that, like, those people are few. There's not as many people doing that. And that's why Jesus called us to step into the work of making right the wrongs in this world, to address the injustice in our world and the evil around us. And the same way he pointed out to his disciples, he also pointed out to you and I. Because I think, not in a bad way, but most of our response to seeing injustice or hearing it is saying something like, man, that is terrible. Like, someone should do something about that. Right? Someone should address that guy on the side of the road. Like someone should help these people. And of course, when we think of somebody doing something, we don't see ourselves as that somebody. We mean someone who has a degree or money or influence or the time to come up with a plan to really figure out how to help this person. Maybe someone like the authorities or someone in the church or maybe people who've been elected to the government. Maybe like famous people like Oprah, Michelle Obama, or whoever it may be. See, often when we think about somebody doing something about it, we often don't think of ourselves as that somebody. But here's a few things I know. Number one is that somebody isn't doing anything about it. Or maybe not enough somebody is doing something. Because wouldn't it be true, injustice wouldn't be such a big deal if somebody was addressing it. If somebody was actually doing something, it wouldn't be such a big deal. And this is the second thing I know. You are that somebody. We all are that somebody. Like, God has called us to do something, and trust me when I tell you, you might be the somebody that someone is waiting for to step in and do something about it. Maybe in your neighborhood, in your community, wherever it may be, maybe they're waiting for you to be that somebody. And we see this really clearly in the book of James. Now, James is actually the half-brother of Jesus, and I think James knows a thing or two about being unqualified to be a somebody. Wouldn't you be tempted if Jesus was your half-brother to be like, I don't have to deal with this. My half-brother Jesus, he's got this. You know, he's Son of God. He's got this, right? I'd be tempted to do that. But see, that's not what James said. James was writing this letter to a group of Christians who were facing more injustice than we could ever imagine. And he challenged the followers of Jesus by saying this. He says, suppose a brother or sister is without clothes or daily food. So, right out the gate here, James is talking about injustice. He's trying to help us imagine the most common form of injustice. Someone who doesn't have enough food or clothing. And he says, someone should do something about this, right? Like, someone should take care of these people and do something about this. And James clearly tries to point the followers of Jesus in this way. He says this in the next part. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? This kind of seems obvious when we read it, right? Like, of course you don't say to a guy who's starving on the side of the road, like, hey, man, I know you're starving, you don't have enough food, don't have clothing, but I hope you find that stuff one day. I hope you find enough food and clothing, and I hope you have peace. See you later, right? When I say it that way, it seems heartless and kind of ridiculous. But do you know what? I think we're all tempted to respond that way sometimes. Because when we're faced with the hugeness of a problem, when something is so huge and such a big problem, and we don't know how to solve it, we may not say this actually out loud, but we often settle for simple words over actual action. We often settle for simple words over actual action. Maybe we'll say, I'll pray for you, or even commit to saying a prayer every once in a while. Maybe we'll even think about them every once in a while. Maybe we'll post it on Facebook or social media, or maybe talk to friends at work or school about it. And while none of that's bad, it's important to talk about injustice, James points out that's not the only thing we should do when it comes about injustice. Because the problem of injustice is huge. It's a big problem. And since it's such a big and bad problem, honestly, we don't know how to solve it. And because we don't know how to solve it, we end up not doing anything outside of just talking about it. And we join hundreds, if not thousands or millions of people waiting and praying for somebody to do something, but miss the opportunity that God may be giving us to be that somebody to someone in need. See, our ability to act and do something about injustice in this world is directly connected to our faith. And that's what James says here next in James 2:17. He says, so you see, faith by itself isn't enough. Unless it produces good deeds, it's dead and useless. Here's the thing about I love about James. He does not sugarcoat things, and he tells you the truth, right? It kind of sounds harsh. But at least we know what he's saying, and James is basically saying this. If you're a Christian, sure, you can talk about all the wrongs in the world that God doesn't like to, that God doesn't appreciate or like, but until you do something, until you act, well, your faith isn't fully alive yet. And that's not the kind of faith that Jesus wants for you and I. Jesus came so that our faith could be lived to the fullest, so that we could be active followers of Jesus. And until we start acting on the injustice that breaks the heart of God, well, our faith isn't living up to the fullest potential, according to James here. James wants us to see that our actions are a part of our faith, and that they cannot exist from one another. We must see them together. Jesus taught everyone about the injustices in the world. He talked a lot about them. But that's not the only thing he did. Jesus acted on the injustice around the world. It's amazing to look through the scripture because Jesus' faith was fierce, it was unreeling, it was active, it was generous, and it was dangerous to the injustice that they were facing during their time. And that's the kind of faith that you and I can have too. So maybe it's time that we stop praying for God to send somebody to do something and ask this question instead. Am I that somebody? Am I that somebody? Yes, it's important to keep talking and praying about injustice around us. It's really important, but don't stop there. Be that somebody. Take a step towards living a full and active faith by stepping into the injustice that you see around you and doing something about it, because a living faith is an active faith. And when a faith that is active meets injustice, that is a faith that acts. Now, I'm not saying we should all leave here today and just like end world hunger. Obviously, we can't do that. But here's what I'm saying. We all can start with what's in front of us. We can start with what's in front of us today, because you can't be a somebody to everybody, but you can be a somebody to one person. You can be a somebody to one person. You may not be able to end world hunger, but what about the kid in our community who doesn't have enough to eat? Me and Pastor Dave were at the high school, and we had one of the principals from the elementary school mention how 50% of their kids are on free or reduced lunches. There's hungry kids in our community who don't have enough food. How about the mistreatment of children around the world? We might not be able to do anything about that, but what about the kids and students who are being bullied in our local school district or bullied in your neighborhood? How about we can't maybe end poverty on a global level, but what about the family in your neighborhood that you know could really use some help right now? What could you do to step in and help that person? We saw a pretty incredible example of a student acting on an injustice in their life. And they were only in middle school. I want to tell you the story because it's really encouraging and it's pretty cool. So this student would, you know, be at lunch every day. And one day she noticed her friend didn't have any food. She wouldn't eat lunch. So she asked her, like, hey, why aren't you eating lunch? And the girl shared that her mom actually was a single mom and she recently lost her job. So they didn't have enough for lunch. So this middle school student started packing an extra lunch every day when she went to school. She would pack a lunch so that she could have something to eat. And a few weeks later, that same student said this candidly. She said, on a Friday, she said, I better savor this because this will be the last thing I eat until I come back to school on Monday. Pretty crazy, huh? Our middle school student went home and asked her mom if she could go shopping. So every weekend, this middle school student would send her friend home with a backpack full of food so that she could have enough to eat for that weekend. Isn't that incredible? Like, this middle school student could have chosen to ignore the injustice that was happening right at her lunch table. She could have just ignored it. But no, she acted. She saw injustice happening in her world, and she decided to act. And that's what this morning's about. It's not about changing the world. It's about changing someone's world. It's about changing one person's world. That's where it starts. Our faith becomes fully alive when we just help one person, and then another person. And then another person. One person at a time, that's how we make an impact on the world around us. Because this is why I believe. I really believe if we can change a world, we'll eventually change the world around us. One person at a time. So we see this model that Jesus gives us, right? To respond to injustice. We are to see, we are to care, and we're to act. See, care, act. And that's the model Jesus gave us to respond to the injustice that we see in our world. And I believe it's a model that can change the world, but most importantly, change our world, change our neighborhood, change Quakertown as a whole. And that's the fire I want to light in your heart today. And I've been praying that God would light in my heart as well. Because you know what? I believe the world is waiting on somebody to do something. And I truly believe I'm looking at a room full of somebodies. I truly believe I'm looking at a room full of people who can change the world in big and small ways, one life at a time. The potential for the ripple effect, if we all went out and changed one person's life, is huge. Like, God could use it in so many ways. If we can change someone's world, we really will change the world around us. We can change our neighborhoods and change our town. So where do we start? How do we actually address the need? I want you to think this morning about an injustice that you see in your personal world. What's the injustice you see around you? Think about something that truly breaks your heart. Maybe it's homelessness or orphans, poverty, slavery, suicide, mental illness. Whatever it may be, think about the injustice that you see in your personal world. Then find one way this week to bring your faith alive by responding to it. Find one way to be that somebody who does something about it. Here are just some examples, but there's many that you could do. Maybe for you, it could be volunteering one Saturday at a ministry that helps the homeless. Or maybe it's volunteering at our local food bank. Quakertown Food Bank would love more volunteers. It could be reaching out to a coworker or a classmate who's often bullied or ridiculed. It could be giving some time or money to an organization that helps fight slavery, or maybe sponsoring a compassion child. It could be donating your time to help out a family you know is in need in your neighborhood, or in our town, or even in our church here. It could be simply just Google searching to find out what people are doing to fight the injustice here in your world, in our world, in Quakertown. I want you to find one way this week to be that somebody is waiting for. Change a world, and we will eventually change the world around us. And I truly believe the love of Jesus is already changing the world. And he wants to invite us to be a part of that. And I truly believe a living and active faith is the best weapon to fight the injustice in our world. A living and active faith is the best way to fight the injustice in our world. One person at a time, one need at a time, one life at a time. That's how we make an impact. So what do you say? Should we go out and do something to fight the injustice in our world? Let's open our eyes and be that somebody that someone needs. Let's go change someone's world. And I really believe that we'll end up seeing God use us to change the world around us. And I want to invite you to be a part of that because God wants to do incredible things through each and every one of you. I want to invite the worship team up as we kind of end this morning with a song called Every Giant Will Fall. Just thinking about how God can do the impossible. And God wants to use each and every one of you to do incredible things.